Welcome to Nowracast Tech Briefing. I'm your host, and today we are looking past the hype to examine the actual numbers behind artificial intelligence adoption. It turns out, despite what your social media feeds or tech blogs might suggest, the vast majority of the working age population is not using AI on a daily basis. We have some revealing telemetry and polling data that paints a very different picture of the market. We will also be diving into a major release from China's Zipu AI, which just dropped a highly capable coding model with a massive context window, specifically positioned as an alternative to restricted Western models.
And in our roundup, we've got a physical security exploit for modern Honda Civics, some growing pains for Anthropic's cloud code, and Paul Graham's latest defense of the billionaire startup founder.
Let's get right into the first story. We are starting today with the international AI landscape. On June 13th, 2026, Zipu AI released GLM 5.2. They are positioning this as a high-performance, open-source coding model that boasts a massive 1 million token context window.
This is a significant drop. Right now, it's available to users of the Zipu GLM coding plan, which spans their Light, Pro, Max, and Team tiers. But the real kicker is that an API and MIT-licensed open weights are scheduled for release next week.
The geopolitical context here is impossible to ignore. Zipu's founder, Jay Tang, explicitly framed this release as a response to the recent restrictions placed on frontier AI models. His exact quote was, "The path to AGI must never be enclosed by high walls."
It's a very deliberate marketing strategy. They're leaning into this idea of radical openness to counter the international AI blockades we've seen tightening over the last year. By offering an MIT-licensed model with a 1 million token window, they are directly targeting developers who might be locked out of the ecosystems built by OpenAI or Anthropic.
But the question is whether GLM 5.2 is a genuine frontier competitor, or if its primary value proposition is simply its accessibility. When you look at the early user reports, the feedback is a bit mixed.
Right. On the positive side, users are reporting that the model is highly capable when it comes to reasoning and long-horizon coding tasks. If you need to dump an entire repository into that 1 million token window and ask for architectural insights, it performs admirably.
However, there are caveats. Users are hitting high rate limits currently, which might just be initial rollout congestion. But more importantly, the model seems to struggle with highly complex multi-step execution tasks. For instance, users trying to get it to autonomously build complex games from scratch are seeing inconsistent results compared to what they might get from Claude Code or GPT 5.5.
Which makes sense. Having a large context window doesn't automatically equate to perfect retrieval or flawless long-term planning. The ability to hold 1 million tokens in memory is a technical feat, but the attention mechanism still has to successfully find the needle in that haystack to execute a complex game-building script.
It will be very interesting to see how the performance of GLM 5.2 holds up once independent, large-scale benchmarks are published. Until the open weights are actually out next week and the broader community can run localized tests, we are relying heavily on anecdotal reports from their proprietary tiers.
Regardless of where it lands on the benchmark leaderboards, the strategy of releasing it under an MIT license is going to accelerate the development of independent, regional AI ecosystems. If you are a startup operating in a region facing export controls, a permissive, highly capable base model like this is exactly what you need to build your own fine-tuned applications.
Exactly. The tech industry often assumes that cutting off API access will stall development in certain regions, but releases like GLM 5.2 show that the open source community, or in this case, a heavily funded regional player, will step in to fill that vacuum.
Moving on to our next story, we need to talk about the reality of AI adoption. Gabriel Weinberg recently published an essay challenging the pervasive narrative that everyone is using AI for everything. And the data he points to is quite sobering for anyone caught in the tech bubble.
If you work in software or media, it feels like every single workflow has been augmented by large language models. But Weinberg argues that usage is actually split neatly into thirds. One-third active users, one-third occasional users, and one-third non-users.
And that's actually an optimistic breakdown compared to some of the hard data. He cites Gallup polling from 2025 and 2026 showing that 21% of people never use AI at all, while 32% use it only monthly or every few months.
Even more telling is the telemetry data from Microsoft. According to their internal metrics, roughly 30% of the U.S. working age population uses AI. That means a massive 70% do not. That is a stark contrast to the narrative of universal adoption.
It really highlights the social desirability bias at play in surveys. When AI is constantly in the news, people might claim they use it just to appear current or competent in their jobs. But the actual telemetry, the server logs tracking real queries, shows that the majority of workers haven't integrated it into their daily routines.
Weinberg also digs into why that 70% is holding out. The top concerns driving this limited usage are job displacement at 42%, privacy violations at 35%, and the spread of misinformation at 33%.
Those are very rational concerns. If an employee believes a tool is actively being evaluated by management to replace them, they aren't going to eagerly adopt it. And on the enterprise side, the privacy concerns are a massive bottleneck. Companies are terrified of proprietary data leaking into a public model's training set.
Right, and this creates a weird dynamic in the market. You have venture capital flowing into AI startups based on total addressable market projections that assume 100% adoption. If the ceiling is actually closer to 30 or 40% because the rest of the population fundamentally distrusts the technology or simply doesn't find value in it, a lot of those valuations are going to look absurd in retrospect.
It also changes how we should think about product design. If you are building an AI tool today, you can't assume your user is an enthusiast who will forgive hallucinations or complex prompting requirements. To capture that remaining 70%, the AI has to be invisible, operating seamlessly in the background to solve a specific problem without requiring the user to learn a new paradigm.
Exactly. The industry has been optimizing for the power users, the one-third who are actively engaged. But crossing the chasm to the occasional users and non-users is going to require addressing those core fears around privacy and job security, rather than just adding more parameters to a model.
All right, let's hit a few more stories real quick before we wrap up today's briefing.
Sounds good. We have a mix of developer tool growing pains, automotive security, and a debate on startup wealth.
First up in the roundup, a friction point in Anthropic's Claude code was highlighted on GitHub. When developers used the /cd command to switch directories mid-session, the tool correctly loads the new directory's claude.md file.
However, it fails to rescope the auto memory stored in the hidden .claude projects folder. This means the AI agent essentially forgets all the project-specific debugging patterns and preferences it had learned, forcing developers to repeat themselves.
Users are asking for the tool to either automatically switch the active memory context or explicitly warn the user about what context actually carried over during the directory change.
Sticking with Claude code, another GitHub issue addresses context bloat. The current Claude MD management plugin operates on an additive model, constantly appending new rules and notes to the claude.md file.
Because that file acts as the project brain and is read at the start of every session, this bloat eats up significant token budget. Developers are requesting automated mechanisms for pruning, consolidation, and managing stale data.
It highlights the ongoing challenge of maintaining technical debt in AI configurations. An AI agent needs to know what to forget just as much as it needs to know what to remember.
Moving to automotive security, researcher Eric McDonald identified a vulnerability in the head unit of 2021 Honda Civics that he's dubbed Evil Valet.
Honda apparently left a publicly known Android open source project test key in the firmware. This allows an attacker with physical access to the car's front USB port to sign and flash malicious update packages without needing root access.
Unlike the remote rolling PWN vulnerability from 2022, this requires someone to physically sit in the car, but it perfectly illustrates the tension between making vehicles easy to update and the severe risks of using standardized cryptographic keys.
Finally, Y Combinator co-founder Paul Graham published a new essay titled How to Earn $1 Billion, originating from a recent talk he gave at the Oxford Union.
The essay is a direct rebuttal to political rhetoric suggesting that billion-dollar fortunes are inherently the result of exploitation or labor abuse. Graham argues that massive wealth is simply a byproduct of rapid startup growth.
He points out that of the roughly 6,500 companies Y Combinator has funded since 2005, about 30 founders reached billionaire status by focusing relentlessly on making something people want, framing the debate as factual rather than ideological.
And that is going to do it for today's briefing.
Thanks for tuning in. We will be back tomorrow with more updates from across the tech landscape.
Until then, stay informed.